Welcome to Raised on D&D Podcast. Raised on D&D brings you inspirational interviews with tips and strategies to enrich your family's gaming experience. Your host for Raised on D&D has been a dungeon master for over 30 years and a father to three gamers. Here is Nick Carrarelli.
Welcome back, gamers. I'm your host, Nick Carterelli, and this is Raised on D&D. My next guest is hailing from Kansas City. He's a game designer and award-winning podcaster on Miskatonic University Podcast. He is currently playtesting a new Call of Cthulhu scenario for Chaosium. Please welcome John Hook. Hi, John.
Hey, Nick. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for being on the show. Today, we're talking about horror role-playing games. Some of our listeners are parents of younger children, and their horror games are very, very light. But today, we're going to talk about Call of Cthulhu. Before we jump into all of that, we kind of want to get to know you more as a gamer. So can you take us back? When did you start playing tabletop role-playing games and D&D?
I do. I need to do the math, but I think I was probably 11 or 12. I received as a gift at Christmas the Dr. Holmes blue box of basic D&D. And it had the dice, did not have the chits. And man, I was hooked. For years, you know, I grew up, me and my circle of friends, we were all, you know, playing role playing games. We were, you know, primarily TSR stuff. Between, you know, the four or five of us that were playing, we would collect everything. So a buddy of mine, he's the one who actually owned the first edition of Call of Cthulhu. And I was exposed to the first edition, loved it. But since I owned mostly TSR products, most of my gaming in the early days was with TSR. But you know,
well, in those early days, D&D, right? You still had the monster manual that had Cthulhu in it, right?
I did. Yeah, the deities book, deities and demigods, that came with the Cthulhu mythos. It had the Melbonian mythos. It had a couple other Beninier, you know, however some people pronounce the Elric stuff. So before all that.
What got you into Call of Cthulhu? Your buddy had a copy of the first edition, but what really made you fall in love with the setting and the system and all that?
You know, I really do have to tip my hat to my friend when I was growing up, Robert Heitkamp, who had this box set. And I will never forget it was a kid's birthday party, right? You know, I think he was 12 turning 13, and it was a sleepover, and we were playing Call of Cthulhu, and he had this I loved it. I still remember it, where, you know, the characters were shipwrecked on an island. There's a weird house. We explore the house. Oh my goodness, there are serpent people in the house, you know, in caves underground. And I loved, you know, of course, at that time also, Indiana Jones was big. So I had this character where I was trying to be like this archaeologist, be this Indiana Jones archaeologist. And as we were escaping the house, you know, we basically dynamited their base, and we're trying to escape from out of the caverns up into the house, out of the house, get to the beach, jump in the rowboat, and get off the island. And my escape was cut off. And so I ran up these stairs. There was a chandelier. I jump, grab it, swing out, go through the window, break my legs because I rolled terribly. And, you know, I fumbled my roll. And I remember my character just laying on the ground outside of the house, looking at my friends going, "Don't, no, please come save me." And they saved themselves and went to the beach, and I got sworn by Serpent Man. But it was awesome. I will always remember that game, and just having that setting of pseudo modern, you know, because most of the Call of Cthulhu games, you know, classic Call of Cthulhu games are set in the 1920s. which I love that setting.
I enjoy the 1920s setting more than modern, and I'll tell you why. When you have to do research in Call of Cthulhu, I mean, you're going to libraries, you're going to other states, you're going to other countries, right? If you play modern time, yes, Call of Cthulhu, my character is going to do some research, and he's just going to pick up his phone, and he's going to, there's all the answers, and we're done. And our research is done in 10 minutes. Let's get back to getting killed by something.
Yep. Yep. That's why I also, that's what makes for me the 1920s setting perfect, is the limited technology, the amount of footwork you have to put into it. You can't just, pick up a phone and directly call someone in their car. I liked the retrograded technology. That's what makes, for me, that's what makes the 20s a perfect setting.
If your investigation group breaks down in a little town in Maine and there is no telephones, guess what? You're cut off. So before we talk more about that, John, fast forwarding, you're a husband and a father now. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. My wife and I celebrate 25 years of marriage. We celebrated in September.
Congratulations. Congratulations. And how many children do you have, John?
We have two. Our son, Cole, is 11. And our daughter, Celia, is 8.
Okay. And now, how old were they when you introduced them to tabletop role-playing games?
Not that long ago. My kids, I blame technology. Eventually, I had to get them video games because, Suzy Q had video games, so they wanted video games. I'm not a video game guy, personally, but my kids love them, and so it's like pulling teeth. But I have gotten them to finally kind of start enjoying some tabletop games. Earlier today, in fact, my kids and I played a game of King of Tokyo.
With the monsters destroying Tokyo. Yeah,
with the kaiju. Yes. I bought the new updated King of Tokyo Dark Edition.
Ooh.
It's really great. So cool. And so we enjoy playing that. And there's a few other, some geek-oriented games, some more traditional kid-oriented games. I'm trying to get them more into games, and they know that I write role-playing games, and they'll see my books and they'll go, "Oh, your name's on this." I go, "Yeah, it is." And they'll go, "Yeah, that's nice." I'm like, "Man, who are you?"
One day they'll be impressed.
I know. It'll be at my funeral. That'll be the day.
Today, we're talking about Call of Cthulhu, and I think it's not a hard argument that maybe Call of Cthulhu isn't exactly for the elementary age crowd.
I absolutely agree. Call of Cthulhu, first, one of the real base changes and differences between something like Dungeons and Dragons versus Call of Cthulhu is, in Dungeons and Dragons, this is an adventuring game. It is much easier to have like a sandbox setting where the players can self-direct the adventures that they want to have, and the game master can tailor those adventures for them, and they can explore a world together. Also in D&D, you can have modules that are still adventure oriented, treasure oriented, and so the characters get in there and they explore this, and with the intent that they're trying to maybe save a princess or recover a relic or something to that nature. That is very easy and adaptable, in my opinion, for any age, any audience. With Call of Cthulhu, the root tenet that game is built upon is that it is an investigative horror game. Now, one of the things that comes out of that is there's a mystery afoot. And these scenarios tend to be more linear. Sometimes they are besmirched with the railroad label. You know, it's a matter of a perspective and opinion, I think, on that. But because these mysteries, most of the mysteries that involve with Call of Cthulhu, because these are otherworldly alien creatures, most of that subject matter is not really suited for an elementary audience. So I would agree that maybe Call of Cthulhu isn't the right setting. Now, the game engine and a mystery setting could be adapted for an elementary audience, but I would say maybe don't do it with the Cthulhu mythos and that pantheon of creatures.
We were doing a sci-fi campaign, and it was around Halloween time again. So I said, oh, let me make this, you know, spooky for the holiday. Sci-fi heroes are to go to the bowels of a space station, and they're going to take a power supply to give to an underworld character for some information. Real easy, cut and dry. They get down there, and they find out that there's a whole group of alien refugees of different races, and the power supply is their only warmth. And if they steal it, they'll all die. But the twist is, all the aliens are already dead, and they're all ghosts. So I just think of 50 million horror movies I've ever watched, and I blend them all together in a blender, and there's the little girl alien who leads them through the whole scenario. They see a homeless alien. He's laying there. He's not communicating. They're trying to talk to him. They look away, and they look back, and he's gone. And the little girl tells them he had to leave, and they don't question it. They're just like, oh, he must have gone down a tunnel or something, and they leave. Of course, like Poltergeist, there's a monster who eats the ghosts, right? Like a demon. And she tells them it only comes when it's dark. Well, if they take the power supply, the place is dark and cold, right? So now they're like, oh no, what do we do? I don't usually add ambiance to my game table, but I made the mistake of turning the lights off when they took the power supply. It wasn't pitch black. Come on. There was like an oven light on, right? So it was very dim. But they take the power supply off. I said a horrible, terrible noise, and then I turned the lights off. And that was too much. That was too much. In fact, it was too much at the time for not just the youngest, but the middle. And they both were like, nope, 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 done. One burst into tears. My wife looked at me like, what are you doing? I was like, I got into a moment. I was being theatric. So now you can see why I haven't been keen on running Call of Cthulhu up to this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Nick, I got to say, you and I are cut from the same cloth. I love it. That is awesome. Oh my God. I want to be at your table. That is for sure.
Well,
that is amazing.
We'll have to do one online sometime. And, absolutely. But so the idea, now they're a little bit older. I think they can handle a little bit more scary. And I'm really excited about doing the box set. John, what advice would you give first-time keeper who's going to run a module for their family and friends?
Yeah, that is also some great initial advice, which is to find out what is it that the kids, what kind of entertainment are they already consuming? What is their level of tolerance, you know, for things that can be horrific? Typically older kids, you know, just by nature of having greater experience than younger kids, older kids can typically handle a little more horror, a little more mystery. I find mystery can be a lot of fun. In fact, you could do a Call of Cthulhu game that is just mystery only with very little horror and tailor that, you know, for a younger audience, understandable for the elementary audience. So it could be a Scooby-Doo adventure. Okay.
Yes.
So you could absolutely watch, which I myself want to do this, where I want to go and buy, I think I've done the research, I think there's 3 original seasons of the original Scooby-Doo adventures. Mm-hmm. I want to go buy those on DVD and start watching these things. And you could really tailor a investigative mystery game that uses the Call of Cthulhu rules. So you build Call of Cthulhu characters, you use the Call of Cthulhu skills, and you can have a mystery that would be younger audience appropriate. And I think it would be super fun. But as it currently stands with the materials that are out there, I'm not aware of any that any authors like myself who may have tailored something like that. But now you're giving me ideas.
Well, there is a RPG online called Meddling Kids, which takes a lot of cues from the original Scooby-Doo cartoons.
Uh-huh.
And you get to play investigators, and you get to design your own animal companion. So one of you gets to play a Scooby-like character.
That's
really fun. But absolutely, you can definitely tailor Call of Cthulhu for those audiences. Now, John, you and I started playing Call of Cthulhu at 12, 13 years old. Now, I don't know if my group was doing it right, but we tried our best. I know that, and help me out with this, it was a mission where we got invited to a mansion on an island. And in that adventure, a little bit of a spoiler, whatever the monster was, it had to devour so many souls to accomplish its goal. So we had to stop that from happening. Well, our group, being a bunch of 12 and 13-year-olds, thought that the way to deny the monster its delicious souls was for us to kill the insane people at the asylum first. And therefore, he couldn't collect the 9 or 12 people that he needed. The game master, you know, allowed it because he was 13 too. And he was like, well, I guess that makes sense. But it wasn't very heroic. We had a wonderful time. It was hilarious. The asylum, very frightening for us because, of course, he's reading all the box text out of the module. So it's very graphic. And of course, we are expecting the evil to devour us at any time. So that made for an amazing adventure. I remember playing Call of Cthulhu, and we would have to walk about 4 blocks home. And the road that we had to walk down was lined with oak trees, and the oak trees joined together over the road. So at nighttime with no moon, it made like a black tunnel.
You need to be safer setting yourself on fire running down that street.
15 or 16 years old, leaving at 1 o'clock in the morning, a Call of Cthulhu adventure that just made our skin crawl. And here we are walking down this darkened path. I mean, we were terrified, just terrified.
Yeah, you're braver than I am.
So my middle son is 13, and he really wants to try Call of Cthulhu. Parts of that system that we really enjoyed growing up is insanity. So as your heroes are trying to deal with reality versus the horrific things they're seeing, it puts a toll on them. Can you tell us a little bit more about the insanity and how that sanity and how that works in Call of Cthulhu?
Yeah, it is a incredibly innovative mechanic that is powerful enough that it has been the tentpole for the Call of Cthulhu game mechanics in the 40 years, 39 and counting, really, that this game has been around. And so as your investigators, which is what your characters are known as in the game, investigators, are learning and expanding their information and learning more about the mythos, maybe they're doing it through reading a book, or maybe they gain mythos information from encountering a monster, right? So when that happens, like, let's go with encountering a monster. When you encounter a monster, excuse me, your character has a sanity value. And most things in Call of Cthulhu are set on a 100 scale because it's a percentile based system. So as a starting character, maybe I have a sanity of 65. Okay. And just to clarify, because there might be people who don't understand, but when you're creating your characters, you don't start off with everything like maxed out. So I don't have a sanity of 100. My sanity is going to be a derived mechanic, a derived stat. In Call of Cthulhu, one of your root primary attributes is called willpower, or just PAL for short. Is, you know, if when I create my character, if my PAL is 65, then my starting sanity is 65. So that's just an idea on how do you get your starting number, right? Where do I get this value from? That's how you get it. So I have my starting sanity of 65%. I encounter, well, like the serpent people I was talking about, right? Half man, half snake people, right? Very, very nasty. And they're the children of the god Yig, who's a serpent god. So I encounter some serpent people doing some terrible things. When I see them, because it's inhuman, it's not something that I normally see, it freaks me out. So my game master, who in Call of Cthulhu, the game master's title is Keeper. So the Keeper is going to say, make a sand roll. Okay. So I take my percentile dice, I chuck them, and did I get equal to or less than? Because in a percentile-based system, whatever your target number is, you're looking for that or less. You want low numbers in Call of Cthulhu, not high numbers. So if I chuck my percentile dice and I roll an 80, oops, I rolled higher than my SAN. Well, because I rolled higher than my SAN, the Keeper will look at his notes and he'll say, okay, because every monster has a SAN loss as a stat in their stat block. And he'll say, okay, Serpent Man. And there's two numbers. There's a number that the investigator will lose if they were successful in their SAN roll. And then there'll be slash, and then another number, usually a much higher number, on how much they lose if they fail their sand roll. I'm losing sanity. Sanity is slowly spiraling downward, downward, downward. The other thing that's really cool in this game is there is a skill, because all your characters have all kinds of skills. You just got this laundry list of skills. But there's one skill that you can't go to the library and learn more about. You can't go to the local snitch in the dark alley and learn about. And that skill is Cthulhu Mythos. That's a skill that you can only have your percentages go up in through personal experience with the Mythos. And whether that experience is reading a forbidden tome or encountering a unusual creature. So when I meet this Serpent Man for the first time, I rolled the sand, I had some loss, and now my Cthulhu Mythos skill, it actually goes up. Now, there are some interesting mechanics in here. If my Mythos skill is a zero, so I've met nothing ever in my entire career, the very first time I meet something, a monster, I get 5 points. But that's it. After that initial 5 point, every time I meet a monster, it'll just be a one. I'll just go one, 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 one. So that's how you gain, you know, your insight knowledge on the Mythos. But when you're losing your sanity, you know, they have the spiral set up to where you just keep going more and more insane until eventually you're like, I have to check myself into an insane asylum, get some mental therapy, get some help, mental help, and hopefully doctors will help me get my sanity score to go back up.
Well, and you know, that's the thing with Call of Cthulhu. If you're fortunate enough to survive a series of adventures, you are most likely going to spend some time in the asylum. And I remember we played several games in a row, and I only kind of came in on one or two, but my friends were playing about six or seven modules right back to back. And we were all amazed because one of our friends, his character survived five modules, and almost every single module started with us going to the asylum to visit him and then taking him out so that we could go on another adventure.
Awesome.
My favorite sanity roll story is we're all down by a lake, and a creature starts to rise out of the lake. Now, fans of Call of Cthulhu will recognize the name right away. But those who aren't familiar with their Cthulhu mythos isn't very high, won't realize just how incredibly scary this was. But somehow Hester was rising out of the lake himself. Now, the game's called Call of Cthulhu because Cthulhu is the big bad guy. But Hester, he's right up there with him. He's like the second worst guy you could hope would not come out of a lake, right? So he comes rising out of the lake. Of course, my friends all go insane right there on the beach. And the keeper tells me, you have to roll a sand check. And the only way you're going to be successful is if you take a percentile dice or a D100 and you roll a natural one. So I roll the dice and I roll percentile dice and I get a natural one. No one can believe it. We all go crazy. And of course, unlike your buddies, I grab my friends and drag them from the lake with Hester rising out, being the only one who make my sand roll. It didn't matter because about 5 minutes later, we were all shot by cultists. But but forever, we'll remember the natural one rolled necessary. And I think that's what's so great about Call of Cthulhu is the thrill. You know, not only it's not terror like it can be lots of different kinds of terror, but it's not like a slasher film where you know what the bad guy looks like, you know his MO. I mean, your heroes, are your investigators, are walking around expecting to be killed at any moment by anything. It could be a ghost. It could be a fish man. It could be a cultist. It could be your friend who's now possessed or gone crazy. So it's very exciting, and you're always on your toes. I know that you're working on projects right now that you can't tell us about. They're under wraps, coming out later, and we've just got to be patient about it. But you are playtesting some new scenarios for Chaosium. Are all of these scenarios that you're playtesting, are they all Call of Cthulhu related?
They are. I have one that I'm actively playtesting right now. Our next session is tomorrow night, and it's going well, and I'm getting a lot of great notes from my players, so it's going to help me take it that last 10% and get it over the finish line. So I'm finally going to be sending that off to my editor and getting that out of my house. And then I have another one I've done a lot of writing on. It got tabled for a little while. It's kind of back, I was too close. I couldn't look at it anymore. So I brought it back and I ran a play test and it went awful. So,
oh no,
it went really bad. So I'm taking that back to the drawing board, and I need to reconfigure quite a bit on that. You know, the new 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, a couple of years ago, they came out with a starter box set. So there's a really great product out there. It's like $25 and you can get this starter box set. It comes with dice. It comes with three booklets and it's a fantastic box set to help educate and bring new keepers into the game. But I think it would also be a good tool for a new keeper to bring young people into the game. There is Call of Cthulhu also has a free quick start. You could even try it before you buy it with this quick start. And in the quick start that they have for free on their website is a scenario, which is a classic scenario that has been, up until recently, it was included in every edition of the core rule book, which is called The Haunting. I actually, when you're talking about your middle son wanting to play Call of Cthulhu, it would be my advice that you play The Haunting, that you take him through The Haunting. Now, The Haunting is a pretty classic haunted house. There's a lot of ways that you could tailor it to a horror level that would be more appropriate. For one thing, the haunted house doesn't have a monster. It doesn't have a creature in it. It has a person, and it has, you know, that person is basically, the person is basically a lich, right? It's an undead person who's, you know, just barely clinging on to life. It's mostly a scenario of investigation, picking up information, and then you start exploring his house, which most people think is haunted, which I guess it is. It's haunted by him, even though he's not technically dead. He's more of like in a coma state, right? His consciousness is haunting the house. But you can, as a game master, you could re-engineer the ending of that scenario where it doesn't have to be a brutal confrontation. Open the door and they discover there it is. And maybe it's just basically a shaft of sunlight comes in and touches him and he turns to smoke.
Yep.
Yeah, or turns to ash, and that would be just as satisfying, and that would give them the taste, right? And when I was talking earlier about doing a mystery adventure and, you know, kind of scuba doing it, right? The one important factor is beyond just exposing kids to role playing games, which I think is so helpful, and so, you know, there is such a benefit that we don't even think about because we're having so much fun, that abstract thinking skill. I think it's important to introduce them to the Call of Cthulhu game mechanics. Chaosium publishes them basic role play. You know, they have their generic rule set. They have it available as an open licensed SRD. You can make games with the Call of Cthulhu basic roleplay engine.
That is fantastic. I want to thank you for mentioning the starter box. One of the things that we notice is that sometimes I'm the big bad paladin or I'm the wizard and I'm pressing the button on my controller, fireball, 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 right? So you can get into that mindset, but in Call of Cthulhu, you can't. You're just people against overwhelming odds, and you have to figure out the mystery in a time frame because there's going to be a full moon and people are going to die and a monster is going to rise from the sea and eat people's souls. So there's a lot on the line. John, thank you so much for being on the show today. Thank you for all your advice. So excited to see the projects that you got coming out. So excited to try out Chaosium's basic set and their Call of Cthulhu starter. John, thank you again.
Thank you for having me, Nick. I had a great time. And, you know, I play more games with your kids, for sure.